Let's go now back 60 years to the remote regions of South Australia. Well, we were going to play you the sound of one of the explosions, the above-ground atomic tests carried out in Australia in the 1950s at Maralinga. Between 1952 and 57, the British, with the full support of the Menzies government, exploded not one, but 12 atomic bombs in this country. Three at Montebello Islands off WA, and two at Emu Field, and seven at Maralinga in central and south Australia. A few years ago, investigative journalist Frank Walker did some work for a legal firm seeking compensation for some of those affected by the blasts. He was struck by the scale of the injury and the damage wrought by these experiments. The result is a new expose of the British testing. It's titled Maralinga, The Great Betrayal. And Frank Walker joins us in our Sydney studios. Frank, welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Good morning.
Frank, The Great Betrayal, tell us what it was.
The betrayal was of...
Hang on, we've just got a problem with your mic here. We're trying to get you... Try again.
The betrayal was of not only the military veterans who served at Maralinga, the men who dug the roads, built the pits, built the machinery that enabled the test to come about, but they were also exposed to a lot of nuclear radiation, but also the betrayal of the entire country, because the fallout drifted right across Australia. Successive governments, particularly the Menzies government, tried to cover this up. They didn't want to know about it. They turned a blind eye in order for the tests to go ahead. So the betrayal was not only of the military veterans, but the entire country.
And I have to say, your thesis is on full display in the first few pages of the book, where you've what you've done in this book, apart from speaking to many of those affected by the blast, involved in the blast, put in harm's way by our government, you've also unearthed a lot of minutes of the logistics of this that went on, coordinated from Britain. And you start with a meeting in Britain in 1957, where Australia's lead scientist in this area is talking to the British scientists in charge of the Atomic Energy Research Establishment. And it is incredible what they are saying. I mean, basically what they are saying at these tests is they're basically saying we need Australia to allow us to do testing really close to, not just in the test sites itself, but close to the capital cities. In other words, acknowledging the drift, as you say, of the nuclear fallout. And beyond that, they wanted to test the farm soil, the milk that the cows are producing, again, the implications being that that's likely to be contaminated. And then this extraordinary thing where they say, well, we really need to test its effect on humans, and we have to have bones from animals, but we have to have bones from humans as well. And the Australian scientist represented at this meeting says yes, and that's what happens. Tell us more.
Well, the Australian scientists were actually leading this. Ernest Titterton was a British man who had come to Australia just a couple of months before the test, and he was appointed at the request of the British to head Australia's safety controls. Titterton led this meeting in 1957, at which they said quite cold-bloodedly, and just the reading of the minutes, which I found in the London Archives, the National Archives in London, was so cold and calculating. It was, I just sort of, my mouth dropped when I was reading it. But they wanted to examine the whether the radioactivity that was falling across Australia was getting into humans. And the best way to test this was in the bones of babies. Babies are growing. Babies' bones absorb what they call strontium-90. And it is the strontium-90 which shows how much radiation is falling and getting into the food chain through milk.
And this suggestion was made, and you quote here, as many samples as possible are to be obtained. That's what the minutes say. And the minutes noted that the number of dead babies would probably be small. But the minutes don't note any discussion about the morality of this notion of taking baby bones and testing them and not making this public. I mean, they were grave robbing, essentially.
Yes, they were. They were the body snatchers. It turned out that they could get baby bones very easily. It was the longest running nuclear experiment in history. It went for 22 years. They ended up with something like 24,000 bones, and mostly of infants and babies and stillborn babies and so on. They took notes of where they were born, how they died, but the main thing was to take, as they The parents didn't know about this. Their baby would be, they'd be told their baby had died, the baby would be taken away, and the pathologist would quite calmly rip out a leg bone and send it off to the scientist for testing.
And this went on for 22 years. It went on in the name of science, and that's quite clear from these minutes that you recount. The attitude of the scientists around the table was this needed to be done. We need to understand the capacity and usefulness of atomic energy in the name of science. That was very much the attitude at the time, and very much the attitude of the Prime Minister of Australia at the time, Robert Menzies, when he said yes to allowing the British to test on Australian soil. He thought there might be something in it for a nascent Australian atomic industry, didn't he?
He did, and he also thought that some crumbs might drop off the nuclear table, that Australia might even possibly get the capacity to make its own atomic bomb. That didn't happen. The British kept it all very much to themselves. The Australians were kept out of any scientific knowledge of the atomic program. And Titterton virtually kept the government in the dark about the extent of the radiation being falling over Australia and the damage done to humans.
I want to get to the extent of the radiation, the damage done, but just to stay with the politics for one second, why was Australia, Menzies and I guess the parliament behind him, so happy to go along with this?
This is the height of the Cold War.
So it was fear of the Russians?
Fear of the Russians, the Chinese. Don't forget, at this time we had we had 150 or so nuclear bombs exploding around the world by the Soviets and the Americans. Bikini Atoll was in full flight. And the British desperately wanted to be a major nuclear power, possibly the second Western power after the United States.
It's 14 minutes to nine on breakfast. Our guest is journalist and author Frank Walker, talking about his new book, Maralinga, The Great Betrayal. Frank, you started this book because you were concerned of those who were sent into harm's way. And indeed they were. They were RAF pilots were ordered to fly into nuclear mushroom clouds. Soldiers were told to walk into radioactive ground zero. Sailors were sent in to retrieve the contaminated debris. None of them really made aware of the dangers they faced. Very often they're in shorts and not much more. Mm. What did you find when you went and spoke to people who still survive this?
Guilt that they're the ones who are alive. They saw so many of their friends and mates die. Guilt and fear that the genetic problems caused by their exposure to radiation could be passed on to their children and grandchildren. Anger that the government has continually refused to acknowledge what had happened to them. And the compensation, the money that might come their way, is not really here or there to them. They just want to be acknowledged at what happened to them.
Has there been no acknowledgement of this? The Hawke government did set up the Royal Commission into testing in the 80s. What's happened since?
The continual fight in Australia, the statute of limitations has run out. They can't go to court for compensation. The Rudd government did increase their medical allowance through their gold card, but still no compensation, and which is a formal apology from the government to what happened to them. Several individuals have fought for them over the years, in particular Tom Uren. Some of the people today, like Scott Ludlam and Nick Xenophon, still fight for them to get formal recognition. In Britain, it's been the similar case, but the courts have now pretty well blocked any chance of them getting compensation in Britain, because you can't prove that the cancer you have today was caused by your exposure to a nuclear bomb 50 years ago, 60 years ago.
Frank, reading your book, it makes me realise how little I know, and I think many of us actually know about what went on. And I think this book will really contribute to a much greater awareness and perhaps more action on this. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Frank Walker, journalist and author, and his book, Maralinga, The Great Betrayal, is published by Hachette.